Just have one quick announcement. Charles Moses had contacted me. He is moving this week, and he does have a moving truck that is going to be coming Wednesday, but tomorrow he's got some furniture that he needs to move if there is anyone that can give him a hand. I don't know exactly what time he's talking about. I'm hoping earlier in the morning. And I don't know exactly how much furniture he has to move out. He's been trying to sell some things, and he'll be moving over, I think he said, on East North Street somewhere in a condo or something over there. So if you are willing to give him a hand, if you can just let me know, and I can get a hold of him this evening and let him know. Our text for the lesson tonight is out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verses 17 through 25. You know, it was a time when the church was known for its good works and the aid that it provided to their own. And people within the church, they had given of their means in the sense that those that had land and homes, they sold some of their possessions and they gave generously to the apostles who oversaw this tremendous ministry at the very beginning of the church's infancy. Now, giving was a sign of dependency upon God. And when we give of our money and our possessions, we learn that things are not where we put our trust, but in God. And we also, because of that, see the needs and feel the sufferings as if they were our own. It was a time that the church was striving to be a family. But not everyone had the same attitude. There were some who sold and gave money but lied about it. And apparently, because it was more important to be seen than it was about helping others. And we find this relationship in Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5. There were folks in chapter 4 that were selling off their possessions, that they were freely giving to the apostles to be able to tend to the needs of others. The very last part of chapter 4 is where Barnabas comes into the picture and where he sold some land and he gave that to the apostles. But in Acts chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, it sets the stage for an unseemly attitude. If you will, follow along with me. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we have a husband and wife who conspired to lie. And the text continues on. And about 3 hours after the husband's body was taken away, his wife was confronted with the sin. And in verse two verses, or the two verses in this passage, is what we need to see here. The first verse is after the husband dies, and the second one is after the wife dies. It's verses 5 and verse 11. Verse 5 reads, "And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And a great fear came upon all who had heard it." In verse 11, it tells us, "And a great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things." I want us to hold that thought for just a moment, because I want us to listen to Paul's statement in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20. "As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear." You know, we come to this section of Paul's letter that he writes to Timothy about confronting sin. Christians sin. Church leaders sin. Sin destroys. It's insidious. It's like a slow-growing cancer that cannot be cured, and the only end that comes from it is death. And so we as a church, we as individual Christians, need to learn how to deal with sin before it destroys. We have to learn how to confront sin before it comes so great that the entire congregation suffers due to the sin of one individual. And so it brings about, how do we confront sin? Because it is not just a church leadership issue that has to be dealt with. It's not a preacher's responsibility total to deal with it. It is individually that we also need to learn how to deal with these things in confronting sin. And so the first place to start is understanding what Paul is teaching. Paul is not telling Timothy or us to go around and seek to find out all of the struggles that fellow Christians have within the church body. The fact remains that there are some sins that are seen, and there are sins that are unseen. And the only sin that we as Christians can deal with are the ones that are seen. Now, to keep this in teaching, in the teaching of Paul, Paul tells Timothy about elders and other members who persist in sin. And the word that Paul uses here is persist. In the Greek, it is considered what they call a present active word. It is dealing with people who continue to sin and keep on sinning. And the idea behind it that I can understand is that it's which Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew 18, in verses 15 through 17, the process that Jesus gives us, if a brother sins against you, is to go and talk with him alone. In other words, keep it private. The goal here is to win your brother back. But if that brother continues in that sin, then Jesus says to take two or three witnesses so that all things could be established. Again, the goal here is reconciliation. But if a brother continues to sin after you privately and then with a few witnesses confront him, then it is time to take it before the church. And if the individual then refuses to listen to the church, then we are to view him as an unbeliever. The Bible tells us as a publican or tax collector. Paul is trying to teach Timothy how to be helpful to the church family, not harmful to people. Our job as Christians is not to go around looking for sins. Our ministry of reconciliation begins with each of us in the church family, especially where the pain of sin has caused division. Remember that in the text that we have in 1 Timothy 5, Paul is dealing with persistent sin, and therefore those are the sins which we can see. And that leads us to the end of this passage. Paul speaks of two categories here, the seen and the unseen. And within these two categories, Paul deals with sin and good works. The idea that sin ruins relationships with God and man is taught throughout the Bible. And many Christians, not just church leaders, are good at covering up sin. It is a struggle that every Christian has. We are not perfectly sinless. Even those who have matured in Christ still have faults. And so we have some sins that are seen and those that are unseen. Those which we can see have to be dealt with in order to help the Christian who is caught up in this sin. But the ones that are unseen will only be faced by God on Judgment Day. Our desire to hide sin often causes greater harm than if we were to face the sin, repent of it, and accept God's grace to move forward. I'd like you to take with you the teachings of John in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 10. John says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I think many of us here have heard those verses over and over and over again. And it is always one of those verses I find very reassuring in the sense that even the sins that others cannot see, that we still have that advocate, that we can privately go to our God and Father and repent of those sins with a humble heart, and he will forgive us. We can, and we do walk in the light. And we can, and we do sin. The only time sin darkens our walk is when we arrogantly say that we have no sin. It's okay to admit sin, especially when it is done sincerely, with the right people, and with a heart to walk with God. When it happens, and when we do the things that God requires of us in order to have it forgiven, we are in fellowship again with God and with each other. But when we call ourselves Christians, but we walk in darkness, we break that fellowship. And we are too important of a family to break fellowship. There are also seen and unseen good works. We just can't pitch our tent on the bad. Paul has a very positive statement by reminding us that good triumphs over evil. Even unseen good works cannot remain hidden. Now, he's probably dealing with hidden from God, but the point is that every act that we do will come to light. Paul again writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body." And then he finishes that, "whether it is good or evil." You know, many of us don't see a lot of the good works that occur within our own congregation. And there is a lot of them. Because there are many who work quietly behind the scenes. They help with the physical building and the grounds. They help and assist in the ministry programs. And they also help and assist with individuals within our own church. And you know, the one thing that they never asked for is the glory. They simply want to serve. And they simply want to see the smile that comes from doing the good for others. You know, there may be some of us here today who are hurting and in pain from a secret sin. No one is asking you to come forward. No one is asking you to share all your dirt with this congregation. Far be it. But I would ask that you share it all with God. And then find spiritual people, those who you can trust and rely on, to help you walk in the light. They don't need to know details. They just need to know you need help. You know, we serve a God who reconciles sinners back to himself. He doesn't cast us off as unwanted. God always wants us. He wants us to remain in His good graces. He wants us to reap the promises that He has given to us. He does not want us left out in the cold. He does not want us to feel the heat of the second death. If you are here today and you have never put on Christ by repenting of your sins, by confessing and making Jesus the Lord in your life, and then have your sins wiped away in the waters of baptism, the one thing that you will continue to face is spiritual darkness. If we can help you in any way to walk in God's light, or if you just need to make it known to the church the need for your prayer, for our prayers, we pray that you will come this evening as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.